We greet you in Jesus' precious name. It's in his name that we have gathered together this morning to worship the Lord. It's February. It is cloudy. It's raining. The trees are brown. The grass is brown. Thought of that driving yesterday. Trees on both sides. You know, this is really not that nice. And the scenery is really not that pretty right now. And maybe you're feeling down this morning. Maybe you wish you were just could have stayed home and went to bed this morning. Or maybe you're feeling really good. Maybe you're feeling like, wow, wish there was a marathon out there somewhere that you could run. Are you discouraged? Is that something you face in your life at all? I'm going to take a little poll this morning. You don't have to participate if you don't want to. But I'm going to ask the question if you're facing discouragement, and also raise the question of whether you're not facing discouragement in your life. So you want to close your eyes and answer the question. Raise your hand if you're facing discouragement in your life. In the last month or two. Raise your hand. All right, thank you. And raise your hand if you do not face discouragement. All right, thank you. Yeah, there's definitely more hands of us that we face discouragement. Things that can tend to get us down. There's a place in the Bible that people wept until they had no more power to weep. You tell me where that was. They were just feeling that discouraged. They wept till they had no more power. Until, that's exactly the words of Scripture, until they had no more power to weep. Brother James. Exactly. Returning to Ziklag. That is, took place in 1 Samuel 29 and 1 Samuel 30. David and his men were going to join the Philistines. And then one of the princes said, you know, what do these Hebrews, what are they doing here? Anyway, it resulted in telling David and his men to go back. We said, we don't trust having these Hebrews with us. So they went back to Ziklag, to scripture brings that out. In 1 Samuel 30, he goes back to his appointed place. And here Ziklag was burned with fire. And nobody around. The wives and the children, they were all taken captive. And among them were David's two wives. And verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were just in utter shock, and they wept till they were completely exhausted. David was greatly distressed. And then, as people do, try to find who they can blame. They began to blame David and were thinking of stoning David. They were very discouraged. They were in deep grief and despair. The meaning of the word discouraged is, or discouragement, is the lack of mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. The lack of mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Title of the message is Neither Be Discouraged. This is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. Words of Moses. to the Israelites. He says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not." And the last three words, "neither be discouraged." Moses was saying, go and do it. Take the land that God has given you. And then he tacks on the very end, fear not, neither be discouraged. Moses had a lot of experience with people. We could call it people experience. And he had a reason for that, adding that on. Neither be discouraged. He knew that people that are discouraged do not polish their armor and get up and go out and battle and conquer land. Typically, discouraged people do not do that. He knew that discouraged people do not go out and conquer the enemy. I believe that, those three words are just as relevant to us this morning. Neither be discouraged, as it was to Moses' audience, the Israelites. I believe it's relevant to us as Christians this morning. The discouraged Christian finds it difficult to fulfill his calling. And we're a group here this morning that we vary very much. We have young people here. We have older ones. We have middle age. We have different callings. Some are parents. Some are teachers. Some are singles. Some are ministers. Some are grandparents. And some are endeavoring to be missionaries in various ways, I trust. We're being called to rise up and conquer the land that God has given us. And that land that lays before us this morning varies a lot. The land that I'm called to conquer and the land that you're called to conquer. And I think we can all give testimonies of when we're discouraged, we're not as effective. At least I am not. I know that when I don't have that inner strength and vitality, and maybe feeling down about things, we tend to be less effective. Do you think Satan knows that? Of course he does. He knows that when Christians are feeling down and discouraged, they're not as effective in their life. I believe it's one reason why he tries to discourage me, because he does not want me to be effective in my calling. And there's those things that he brings to try to discourage so that we do not rise up and do our calling. There's things that can happen in our life that's very discouraging. There's families that are left in shock and struggling with how to cope. There's death that is constantly changing family life. Probably read about what happened over in Dhaka, because there's two brethren from our bishop board, Dwayne and Edwin, had been over in Bangladesh and just came home this past week. But I noticed how in Dhaka there was a fire. And it started with a propane tank in back of a car exploding. And that started a chain reaction. Unbelievable. That 100 people would just die in a fire that they couldn't get away from fast enough. One witness said he saw a driver of those little carts. And he was trying to outrun the fire and failed to and was burned alive. It's hard to believe, but that's what took place in Dhaka a few days ago. 100 and some people. Of course, there's tremendous grief, a loss. But there's other discouragements. There's a sister from Elm Street congregation this past week that had her second foot amputated. It's discouraging. It's a major disappointment. It drains mental and emotional strength of those that are touched with these type of experiences. But there's also that routine work of life that can become a burden and can bring sleep difficulty. There can be financial stress. There can be constant pressure to perform. There can be interpersonal problems, ongoing health issues. Thinking of interpersonal problems, I went to a sale yesterday. It was a sale of a turkey farmer that also processes turkeys like we do. He was south of Baltimore, and he had a sale. I went going there thinking he is completely selling out, and learning at the sale from someone else that this was really a big family dispute with two brothers having a partnership and fighting in courts and coming to a place of selling everything. There was hundreds of items in the butcher shop, all the water lines, feed bins, propane tanks, everything was on the sale bill. And there was one brother at the sale that was, and I believe it was his son sitting in the back, discovered, you know, they're not liquidating. They're buying the important things back, and they're going to be continuing. Huge family dispute. Unbelievable that it would come to that. Talk about stress, discouragement, depression. But there can be things in life that we're completely unprepared for, and we get this curve and we're suddenly facing a situation that we have no experience in. And we're questioning, what shall we do? You know, the world has answers for that. They may tell you you need to go to a psychiatrist. You need to go start with yoga. A Hindu theistic philosophy teaching the suppression of all activity of body, mind, and will in order that self may realize its distinction from them and attain liberation. It's also a system of exercises for attaining bodily or mental control and well-being. Yeah, I'm not an expert, but we know that this whole idea of yoga has made tremendous traction in this country. You read about it. There's places you can go to do it. And we can raise the question, why? Why has this gained such a momentum? And the reason is this is because Americans are very stressed. That's why. U.S. News in 2006 put U.S. amongst the most depressed countries of the world. This is speaking of people. People that are discouraged and depressed. Americans are looking for ways to cope with life. It's so difficult. So they're reaching for things, us included, trying to cope with life. But I'm glad this morning that as Christians, that we have some answers that the world doesn't have. And we like to look at some of those answers. There was a question in the Sunday school book about the blessings of a godly home, something to that effect. One of the things I thought of that is such a gift of being raised in a Christian home, a godly home, is being told where we come from. Yesterday I had my three youngest boys along, and I discovered that, you know, these people are buying a lot of these things back. I might as well go home because he can pay 50% of what everyone else is buying it for. So we stopped in at the Science Museum in Baltimore. But something I got a little tired of is being told about the billions of years. Billions of years. Everywhere you went. That was the explanation. The blessing of a Christian family, being told where you come from. That the earth is young. There was a lot of children there with parents, and I was blessed to see that. But I hope those parents are teaching something other than what the Science Museum was. Well, I'm glad that's probably the overarching answer. Is there's a God. There's a God that we believe in. What are the answers as we face the pressures of life, the discouragements, those curves that come our way? First of all, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you're not there, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. What shall we do when we are feeling down and we feel like the weather? It's gray out there. It's drizzling. The trees are brown. But there's other issues in our life that are making us feel the same way. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Yet David had nobody to encourage him. His wives were taken captive. His men were thinking of stoning him. His men were thinking of how their families are being abused, becoming hostages. And they began to direct that hostility towards David. And David made a choice, and that choice was to look heavenward. You know, this shepherd boy had some things engraved in his life at a young age, and that was a strong belief in God. I believe it started when those moments out there as a shepherd boy. He trusted God. He believed in God. That's why when he saw Pharaoh, he said, "Don't you all believe in God? There is a God." And again, David made that choice to seek God for strength and guidance. God heard him and gave an answer. It's a powerful lesson to us when there's bitter trials and disappointments that come into our life, and they will come. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Pray to God. Pray to the great I Am. Pour our heart out to Him. The Bible tells us to seek the Lord. To seek Him and His strength, seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Today, we can have something more than what David had and his men, and that is that we have a comforter. Jesus said that I will not let you comfortless. We have the Holy Spirit that can bring us strength and power and tranquility in difficult times. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. As Christians this morning, we can have that inner presence of the Holy Spirit, and that is a tremendous blessing. We need to pray that in our times of discouragement, that the Holy Spirit would minister to us, that the Holy Spirit would meet that inner need and strengthen us with power, give us spiritual rest and comfort and guidance. John 15 says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. The Bible says, neither be discouraged. Words of Moses to his people, but it's so relevant to us this morning. And I believe that one of the answers is to be connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. Because for without Him, we can do nothing. Secondly, we're looking at helps for discouragement. Is encourage ourselves in the truth. That it's the discouraged Christian needs to know and believe the truth. So often, especially in the depths of discouragement, we begin to believe things that are not true. Let me turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah gives us an example of this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. It's a familiar story. We'll just select a couple verses in 1 Kings 19:4. And he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Verse 9 and 10. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. Verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah, he truly did believe that. And we could raise the question of what was he thinking about in verse 4? When he traveled, he went a day's journey in the wilderness. Well, obviously, I believe we'd say that he was thinking about things. He was telling himself things that were not true. He said, well, I am the only one left. It was not true. We need to beware of what we think. You know, things that we think about over and over again, we roll them around in our mind, and soon our life is on something other than a firm foundation of truth. And that's one of the reasons why two individuals can go through a very similar experience. And one is made better from it, and one is made bitter from it. One is made the worse. I think of yesterday. That had to be a really painful experience to see all your things go up for auction block because of a big, big dispute between a brother. And it can only sow seeds for more bitterness, depending how he relates to it. I'm not sure if he has God or not. I don't think so, knowing my little exchange with the family there. But God can make a difference of how we relate to big difficulties, whether we go up or down from them. We need to put things in right perspective. The event of today that may seem so important are only very significant if they're matters that will survive the end of the universe. Reflected on that truth too yesterday of just you know, these things will pass away, and there's some bigger issues than all this stuff that really matters. And we also need to, I believe, when we're facing discouragement, down times, is we need to resist the cave mentality. You know, we are so prone to withdraw and go in a shell when we're feeling down and discouraged, and do exactly what Elijah did. A cave really does make things dark, gloomy, and depressing. I think another thing of telling ourselves the truth is we need to resist self-pity. That's another very human part of us, to pity ourselves and to think of poor me, others. Can have it so much better. Who else is having an amputation in our congregation? The other couples our age are in Florida and enjoying a good time. And here I am. Well, that can be a real battle, but continuing down that road is a path of self-destruction. Neither be discouraged. A very important part of this is having a thought life that is based on truth. I don't know if, I'm sure you have learned it. I have learned that. A thought life that is based on truth is so important to being able to be courageous with our calling. Thirdly, is encourage ourselves in personal relationships. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. Encourage ourselves in personal relationships, personal friendships. We have a beautiful example here of an ideal friendship in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. These two, Jonathan and David, had a relationship. It was more than, ha ha, did you hear this joke, Jonathan? It was deeper than that. It was something that they could connect to on a spiritual level. This friendship that they had was about strengthening each other's lives. That is something that we stand in need of. It's a great need of today in the world of stress and pressure and responsibility. To have friendships that have a strengthening effect in our life. And if our technology of staying connected would answer this, then U.S. would not be some of the most discouraged and depressed people of the earth. We would be near the top because we can communicate like a lot of people can. But you see, this is another whole issue of having friendships that have a strengthening effect in our life. We cannot afford to have friends that pull us down. We need people that influence us right. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Moses was reflecting on their journey. And he mentions that our brethren have discouraged our heart. So people do influence people. We need to think about this. Am I having associations that are pulling me down and discouraging me? Friendships like that? Or do I have friends that are pushing me upward? We need to consider our friendships. Elijah, he left his servant behind. He wanted to be by himself. The poor widow woman at Zarephath, she went around and she gathered sticks by herself. And that's a little flag when we like to be sort of by ourselves. There's an opportunity to be with others and associate, but we tend to just sort of be by ourselves and do our own thing. It's a sign of discouragement, possibly even depression. But the deeply discouraged tend to withdraw and isolate themselves. And we know that this is not helpful. And I believe it's important that we establish friendships. But if we're down, if we're at a place like Elijah, at that point, it's hard to establish friendships. But we should all be looking out for those people among us that maybe are at that place of being very discouraged and try to pull them up. Young people, today you're in the valley where there's flowers that are growing. And you may say, well, life is good. And I would encourage you to develop good friendships. That can be a real anchor to your life. And to have friendships and develop them in a time of youth. Fellow to fellow, girl to girl. Later, when you're at the foot of the hill called difficulty, you may need to draw some strength from some of those relationships. Jonathan and David's relationship. It was not a shallow relationship. It was obviously a relationship that had some depth to it. And that's something I believe that we stand in need of today in our churches, is those type of relationships. Moves us on to the fourth point, is to encourage ourselves in brotherhood. The dedication of the temple be an example of this. The godly are together. You can read that in Ezra. Don't think we'll turn to that. But they kept the Passover. They separated themselves, and there was great joy. The product was a strengthening of their hands. That is how church life is to work. It's unfortunate when it's otherwise. There can be church life where, in situations where people have been so discouraged in their brotherhood. And, yeah, I think I've heard of situations where, yeah, a lot of people on medication because of their brotherhood situation. And that is really not the way it should be at all. It should be a place where we find encouragement and strength. And I believe one important part of this is to love each other, to divinely love each other. We find that in John chapter 15, 13. There's a little story that was shared of Jimmy. He had a 5-year-old sister that underwent a serious operation. She had lost a lot of blood. This may even be in the book that One Anothering, I'm not sure. But she had lost a lot of blood and needed a blood transfusion. And they had asked her brother, Jimmy, if he would be willing to give some blood. And he set his teeth and said, yes, sir, if she needs it. And at once they were preparing Jimmy for the transfusion. And taking the blood, the doctor noticed Jimmy getting pale and yet there was no apparent reason. "Are you feeling ill, Jimmy?" asked the doctor. "No, sir," said Jimmy. I'm just wondering when I will die." "Die?" gasped the doctor. "Do you think people die when they give blood to someone else?" "Yes, sir," replied Jimmy. "Are you going to give your life for Mary?" "Yes, sir," replied the boy simply. "Scripture says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I believe we need that in church life. When that's present in church life, it's a place that you look forward to coming to. It's church life where individuals are not being parasites and trying to see what they can get, but they're coming to church to see how they can give because they love. And secondly, thinking of how to encourage in the brotherhood is apply the law of edification. 1 Corinthians 10:23 talks about edification. And the idea here is to build up, to build one another up. We are all under a constant drain spiritually and emotionally. And as a brotherhood, our calling is to build each other up, like Aaron and hers. And we need to remember that, I believe that starts not here, but during the week and at home. Another reason, another way of encouraging ourselves in brotherhood is to show the kindness of God. It was David that wondered, "Well, is there someone in the house of Saul that I can show some kindness to?" And that should be something that we are all constantly interested in. How can I show kindness? Is there someone out there that needs some kindness from me? But I believe, again, this point here is only very effective if we're practicing this at home. In John Dreser's book on spirit fruit, he gives an example of a mother developed the habit of being cross and complaining at home. Away from home, she was all sweetness and light. One night after she was especially irritable, she heard her child pray, "Dear God, make mommy be kind to us, like she is to people we visit." That's what her mother said, her child said. "Dear God, make mommy be kind to us, like she is to people we visit." At first, she felt the prayer was funny. She told it to her husband. He looked at her with a serious expression. Then he said, "You do not treat us with the courtesy you show to the business people and our friends." And it was a turning point in her life. That's a question maybe we can ask this week. Who can we show kindness to and thereby give them some encouragement? I'd like to close with the point of standing by someone who needs you. There's individuals that I believe each of us should be reaching out to. Think about it, that if you're discouraged this morning, facing difficulty, and maybe you're looking for someone to reach out to you, but did you think about it, that there's somebody that needs you to reach out, that you should be reaching out to? And I have enjoyed this story of how the cactus plant in the Sequoia National Park near Tucson, Arizona. For years, researchers were baffled as to why there's continues to be a lowering number, declining number of them. And they suspected climate change, air pollution, bacterial infection. And there for a time, they thought even the saguars may disappear. But discovered that for the first 20 to 30 years of a saguar's life, it needs a nurse plant, such as a boulevard or mesquite tree, to shade it in summer and to provide winter warmth. And grazing and mining had destroyed those nurse plants, leaving the young saguars unable to survive. You see how for the Swoquara, it was critical that it had a nurse plant beside it. Those nurse plants were gone. Therefore, the Swoquaras were diminishing. And I believe that's true for many of us as Christians. Are we doing our part? Is there someone that needs our encouragement and our help? God may have planted you nearby to be that nurse plant, to help them survive the harsh environment. Give somebody some godly companionship, scriptural guidance, prayer support, a listening ear, maybe even correction. And then to have more Christians surviving because of someone beside them. Surviving the harsh environment. Brothers and sisters, we are in a very harsh environment. We need each other. And there's no one that is so big and strong here in this group that doesn't need a nurse plant, someone beside them that's being a blessing to them. May God bless us, give us strength, give us courage to be faithful this week, coming weeks. Again, remember, it is Satan that really wants to put those seeds of discouragement in our life. Because when he can plant discouragement in our life, we will not be effective. Fathers, mothers, church leaders, youth, we will fail. Because we just won't have the oomph to get up and do what God is calling us to do. May God bless you. Take courage. Let's kneel for prayer.